go from there. All right, that sounds good.
Thank you. everyone, and thank you for joining us here at the Harvest Baptist Temple. Stand with me, if you would, please, as we open with the chorus, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. Love you, and Father, we thank you for the name of Jesus. Father, for we know that it holds power. That, Father, we know, Lord, at the name of Jesus, that we can come to you, and Father, we can enter the Holy of Holies, Father, the throne room. That, Father, we can meet you in front of the altar of prayer. Father, tonight, we just ask that you would be with us in a very special way. Father, we pray, God, for the power of the Holy Spirit to be in our midst. That, Father, you would just touch each and every person, Lord, who's come to be a part of this service tonight. Father, we thank you for the means that we have to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, to come into the homes and into the lives, Lord, of so many people. And we ask, Lord, that the service tonight, Lord, would indeed be a blessing. Father, we pray, Lord, that everything that is said and everything that is done would be to your honor and to your glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, good evening, beloved. Welcome to Harvest. We're so glad you've joined us tonight on this Wednesday. 367 is the hymn, the song, Christ the Lord is risen today. 367. Service in front of me. 600, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. On this hymn book, there's three hymns right beside each other, and I couldn't remember which one it was. 600, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Amen. You may be seated. I want to thank you for joining us tonight for this, our midweek service here at the Harvest Baptist Temple. Thank you for your faithfulness to the things of God. And what a great God we serve. Amen. Now, here's how I want to start the service tonight. We have sang about the greatness of our God. Now, for just a minute, I want to talk about the greatness of our God. This is why I want every one of us right where we are, okay? I want every one of us to take a second. I'm just going to give you about 10 or 15 seconds. I want us to kind of go around and just mention something about our God that we just love and adore and worship Him for. We're going to talk about the greatness of our God. And yes, okay, to the family who is now looking at each other and their eyes are asking, are we really going to do this? The answer is yes. To those of you here, yes, you. And so let's all take just a minute, if we could, and let's just mention something out loud that we love about our Heavenly Father. His mercy, His answered prayer, grace, that He saves, that He sustains. God is good, isn't He? I tell you what, it does us well to just stop and to think about the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? To just stop and to fix our heart on Him. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit tonight. And so there is no more appropriate way to start a service than to start it by focusing on the Lord. As we kind of begin to move through the service, have a couple of announcements we want to keep in front of you. First, next Wednesday night, 1 week from today, missionary Joshua Clay, missionary to Mali, will be with us. And so he'll be here. He'll be preaching, of course, as we assemble by way of Facebook, by way of 90.5 and cleanair.fm. He'll be preaching and sharing the ministry that God has given him to us. And so we want to be in prayer for that, for them as they travel, and then for that meeting next Wednesday night. And then, coming up at the end of this month, a question and answer service. Now, we've gotten a couple questions, but here's what I need. I need your question. I need your question. It's hard to have a Q&A without the Q's. And so, of course, we're adapting how we send in the questions. You can send them in via our app, via email, via text message. You can call them in. You can snail mail them in. All of those different ways that you can get the questions to us. And I want to encourage you, there are no questions that are too simple, and there is no question that really, if you have an honest question about something, that shouldn't be able to ask. Now, every question will get an answer, just not every question during the service. So we're going to be sure to answer your questions, but I want to encourage you to ask those questions, because the reality is, if you have that question, chances are somebody else does too. If you need that answered, chances are that answer would be a blessing to somebody else as well. So I want to encourage you, turn in those questions, and we'll be looking forward to our question and answer service here in the near future. Of course, to stay up to date, download our app, check our website, Facebook, radio, all of those different avenues as we stay connected together in this time where we have to be apart. As we come to the time of the service where we're going to take up our tithes and offerings, want to encourage our church family to just continue their faithfulness. It's simply this: as God has been faithful to increase you, that you be faithful to invest back into His kingdom. You can give online. The link is right there in the comment section on Facebook, as well as on our website, that you can give, and you can give by credit card, by debit card, and directly from a bank account. You can give by mailing it in or even walking it in, as we do still maintain regular office hours. But want to thank our church for their faithfulness in giving. And I'm going to ask Brother Jack Foster, if you would, right where you are, would you stand and ask the Lord's blessing on tonight's tithes and offerings?
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, his part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he lay. As your days, your strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust the promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when taught and troubled meeting, e'er to take as from a Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Amen. What a great message in song. At this time, we're going to go ahead and have our missions update for the week. This week's missions update is the Schertzer family, and they are missionaries to Belize. And praise the Lord, this week we actually have a video, and so they sent out a five-minute missions update video that we're going to play for you now.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Anna, can you say hello?
We're your missionaries, the Schertzers, coming to you from Belize, Central America, and wanted to give you a quick update for our ministry this year and how the Lord's been working on your behalf here in Belize. You'll notice behind me I have a map here. This is the map of the city we live in. It's the capital city, Belmopan, Belize. There are about 25 or 30,000 people who live in the city, and we've been using this map to record our outreach and our door knocking. And so our goal this year has been in 2020 to finish reaching the last homes here in our city of Belmopan. As we go out, we always try to give a New Testament and also an invitation card here, inviting people to our church and sharing some plan of salvation here on the back. And so pray for us as we continue to reach the city. The Lord's really been blessing. This year, January, we celebrated our first year anniversary for our church plant of Faith Baptist Church here in Belmopan. One of the things that we've been praying for was a vehicle to pick people up for church. We've been using our personal vehicle, but many times we had to take two or three trips to get everyone to and from. And so just in January, the Lord blessed us by providing a good deal on a 19-passenger bus. So we've been spending the last several months working on that bus, cleaning up some rust, getting it painted, and then finally putting our church letters, church logos on there, and we're ready to go. Another ministry that I've been continuing this year has been a weekly Bible study with two young men from the University of Belize. But each week as we meet, we look at what God's Word has to say about creation and how to respond from a biblical perspective.
One of the programs that I have especially enjoyed doing is our reading program, and it's opened up the doors for us to really reach people, whether it's the students learning to read or their parents. And we have several families who visited the church and some who are now coming to the church regularly because of it. We spend twice a week, every Monday, every Thursday for 1 month, teaching these children how to read. And at the end, we do a big closing ceremony where the students who have done their best are awarded with certificates and such. So pray for those families. Pray that God will continue to work in their hearts and continue to bring people to the Lord through this outreach opportunity.
In the end of March, we had to close our reading program a little bit early because of the COVID-19 virus making its way here to Belize. The government's closed down public meetings in its measures to prevent the spread. And right now, people are very fearful. The Prime Minister announced the other day there are fewer than 40 ventilators in our country. So we're especially concerned for the elderly and those with existing conditions.
One of the changes to our ministry here in Belize for the past few weeks has been going to online services for our church because of the restrictions against public meetings. I've been recording services at my home office and sharing them online each Sunday and Wednesday, along with an audio recording of my sermon. And Elizabeth has also been recording children's lessons for our church each week. One of the blessings of having online services has been the opportunity to share the gospel with people in Belize through social media. Because they're stuck at home right now under a countrywide lockdown, Belizeans are spending a lot of time online. And for Easter Sunday, I shared an object lesson on sin and Jesus' blood on our church Facebook page, and I paid to advertise it within Belize. And that object lesson had more than 20,000 views on one day.
Another area of concern right now for our people is the lack of income. Because of several new cases in the recent days, the government has put us under a lockdown where we're not allowed to leave our homes except for emergencies or absolute necessities. And because of that, the majority of businesses have been closed as well, so there's very little income for most Belizeans. The Belizeans typically make about $2.50 an hour, and so most of them live day to day and they don't have a reserve for situations like this. One of the ways that we want to help through Faith Baptist Church is by distributing some food to those who are in need during these trying times. We want to be able to deliver to some in our church and distribute food through them as well. So we're looking at purchasing some bulk quantities of beans and also of rice so that we can pass out and be a help and encouragement to the people and be able to share God's word through this difficult time. We know that God is in control of all things, and He can work these things together for His glory. Our prayer is that we can be lights in Belize as we continue to share the gospel and have further opportunities to minister as a result of this virus. Thank you for praying for our family as we serve the Lord here in Belize. We look forward to hearing how the Lord is using you, hearing from you, and pray that God will continue to bless your ministry.
We appreciate what the churches are doing in Belize, and we're excited about our church having the opportunity to go and visit them next year. It's already next year. And so we're excited about that opportunity, and we'll have more to come in the future with that. But let's go ahead. We'll take some time to pray for that, but we're also going to take this time to have our Wednesday night prayer. And so we just wanted to mention a couple prayer requests for our church. We want to continue to pray for Carol Pitch. She'll be, Lord willing, being able to go home next week. And so we praise the Lord for that. But we just continue to pray for her. Obviously, right now, not being able to have any visitors is a lonely time. And so just continue to pray for her. We also want to pray for a friend of the ministry, Josh Polivka, who's lost his father. And so we want to pray that God will give their family grace and strength and encouragement during this time of loss. We also want to pray for our church leadership. Looking around at the church leadership right now, we're putting in a lot of hours, and just pray for strength. Whether it's the radio station, church staff, school staff, and even my wife has been putting in hours just trying to get things done for the daycare and ready to Lord willing, start back up. And so many people are putting in still a lot of hours. And just keep them in prayer. Just pray that God will give them vision, direction, strength, encouragement. And also pray for our country leadership. Obviously, this is a situation that is not something that we've really gone before as a country. And so it's unprecedented. We want to pray that God will give wisdom to our nation's leaders, and God will give direction. And most importantly, that God will bring conviction and also salvation to our nation's believers. And so we do want to lift them up in prayer, and that God will do a mighty work. I do believe that if God was able to get a hold of the leaders of the nation to see, and I do think God will get a hold of the nation in general. And so I think we should lift that up in prayer. So let's go ahead, wherever you are this evening, whether it's a few of you that are here, or if you're at home watching it or listening on the radio, just take some time and pray for these prayer requests this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good. You are so great. And Lord, we praise the Lord that, and thank you for your love to us. Lord, time and time again, without end, you put our needs ahead of, Lord, even yours. You didn't need to come and to send, you didn't need to send your son to die on the cross, Lord, for us, but we needed it. Lord, we thank you so much for that sacrifice. Lord, we thank you and continually thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you for the opportunity to come to you in prayer and to enter directly into your throne room and have direct access to you. And we thank you for this church that, Lord, that you have built. Lord, we pray that you will, Lord, continue to build it, continue to grow it, and, Lord, continue to use it. And, Lord, right now we lift up Carol Pitts, Lord. We thank you so much just for, Lord, her love for you, Lord, her friendship, her encouragement to this church family. Lord, right now that we pray that you will just help us to be an encouragement to her as well. Lord, I pray that you will give her strength. I pray you just continually give her healing. And Lord, I pray that you will allow her to be able to come home next week. And Lord, we also pray for the friend of our ministry, Lord, who's lost a father. I pray, Lord, you'll be with him, be with his family. Lord, be with the travel that they need to do. Lord, I pray that you allow them to be able to travel. And Lord, I pray that you would just give them strength during this time. Lord, I pray you give them comfort. Lord, I also pray for the leadership of the church and the radio station, Lord, in the school, in the daycare, in the church. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you will give wisdom, give a vision. Lord, I pray that you will give unity. Lord, I pray that, Lord, I thank you for the people that you've put in place in each of the positions that you have. Oh, I thank you for their willingness to serve, their eagerness to serve, and their love for you. And Lord, I pray that you will use each one of us to help and further your ministry, your gospel, even further, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, that you will raise up, Lord, people even around us and be with the church family and raise up the church family. Help each and every one of the people of the Harvest Baptist Temple, of the members, Lord, to be a blessing, Lord, and to minister to the people around them and the people of their community, and Lord, to show your love and your compassion to others. Lord, the Bible does not say by accident that some have compassion making a difference. And Lord, I pray that through showing your love and your compassion to others, Lord, that the Harvest Baptist Temple will make a difference in this community. And Lord, I pray that you will also be with, Lord, our country. Lord, I pray you will give wisdom, Lord, and direction to our leaders. Lord, I pray, Lord, regardless of political party, Lord, I pray that you will give the direction to them. Lord, I pray that you will show them the direction they should go. And Lord, most importantly, Lord, I pray that you will show them the seriousness of their sin. Lord, we as Christians know how serious sin is. Lord, how terrible sin is, how putrid sin is. And I pray, Lord, that our leaders in our country will also be able to know the depravity that they have while they are in their sin. And Lord, I pray that you will, Lord, bring them to their knees. And Lord, bring them to you. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you will just be with also this service this evening. Be with Pastor Holmes. Lord, I pray you give him the words to preach and give us the ears to hear what you have for us. And Lord, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Charles. Thank you, church, for praying. Let's grab our Bibles tonight. We're going to look at the book of Isaiah. Good old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter number 26. And we're going to look at verse number 3, a verse that our principal looked at with our school students a couple of weeks ago. And a verse that we're going to look at as a church tonight, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3. Now, I feel like some of you weren't ready for what we did before. If there was awkward silence in your home when I asked us to name something about the Lord, that's okay. There was awkward silence here too, okay? So we're going to try it again. It is a Wednesday night. You know, this whole stay-at-home thing, when it all started about a month ago, I don't think any of us thought we'd be doing it this long. And so it's probably wearing on us a little bit. But you know what? We can encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. So I want to do it again as we start the sermon tonight. I want each of us, you don't have to go around in a nice, neat circle. Unless one of the parents is OCD and that's how it has to go, then boys and girls, listen to your mom and dad. But by and large, I'm going to give like 10, 15 seconds. Let's just talk about how good God is. Let's talk about His person. Let's talk about His acts. Let's talk about His mercy and His grace. What is it that you love and worship and adore about the Lord your God? Ready? Go. Amen. Okay. I hope you had time in your house. We had time here in this house. It's good to be with you tonight. Isn't it good? We can be together in one accord. That our hearts kneel before the same throne. That our souls are washed in the same blood. That our hope is found in the same return of Jesus Christ, in the same resurrection from the dead. Isn't it good that we can come together in one accord tonight? Isaiah chapter number 26 and verse number 3. I want us, if we could, to read the verse aloud together. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3, the Bible says this: Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Tonight we're going to talk about just that. Perfect peace. Father, we love you. I ask tonight that you'd have your will and your way through the preaching. Father, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross. Give me liberty to say that which you would have said. Keep me from saying and doing that which you would not. And Father, I pray that all of us would give our hearts to hear and to heed what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Peace. It's so sought after all around the world, and yet it's so elusive. We seek for peace between us. We seek for peace within us. And in spite of all our efforts, we don't live in a very peaceful world, do we? And let me encourage you tonight, all right? I'm going to start with a real word of encouragement. In case any of you are hoping that COVID-19 is just going to overcome our differences and bring us together, don't forget, we're going to leave COVID-19 and go to a presidential election. Coming together as one, aren't we? Oh. But when we talk about the things that are going on in the world, the coronavirus, the coming election, the economy, the this, the that. As believers, let me start by saying this. As believers, we cannot afford to bury our heads in the sand. Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to the problems of this world. Because we as believers are not called to be ignorant of the problems of this world. We're called to walk circumspectly. We're called to walk wisely in this world and make a difference in this world. And that requires us to know what's going on around us. God wants every one of His children to have real peace. I'll go a step farther. God has promised every one of His children real and perfect peace. And tonight we've got to see that our situation and the serenity that God has promised us are not mutually exclusive. It is not that we'll have peace when the coronavirus is over, or when this diagnosis is over, or when my finances are back to normal, or when I'm done grieving. It's not that I'm going to have peace apart from the situation. Our situation and our serenity are given to us by God. And tonight we're going to see how we can have peace, perfect peace, even in difficult situations. And so tonight, from this verse here that was written to a very troubled nation of Israel, I want us to see how you and I can have perfect peace. Bible says in verse number 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Can I start tonight by giving you some reliable truth? I want to give you tonight some reliable truth. Many aspects of our Christian lives can be understood in two parts: God's responsibility and man's responsibility. And it's important to understand where one ends and the other begins. Because any time we get God's responsibility and man's responsibility confused, we end up in a world of hurt. Let me give you an example. You think about salvation. Who is it that saves? God, come on, the four of you that are here, let them hear you, all right? Who is it that saves? It is God that saves. Anytime man thinks that he gets into the saving business, man gets himself into a world of trouble. Because we cannot save ourselves, and we cannot save one another. It is God that saves through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's God that saves. You think about this, who is it that keeps us? Who is it that sustains us, that guards us, that holds us in his hand and nothing can pluck us out of his hand? Who is that? It is God. I'm going to tell you what, when man gets the idea that he has to keep himself, that he has to guard his own salvation, he's in a world of hurt. Because man can no more keep himself than he can save himself. The Bible is very clear. It is all of God. It is all by God. It is God who does it. And so you think about God's responsibility and man's responsibility. Our responsibility, one of them, is to obey. You know, I love the line. A lot of times we get into situations and believers say, well, I'm just waiting on God. And I'm going to tell you to wait on the Lord. It's a very good thing to do, and it's a very spiritually sounding thing to do. But you know what? A lot of times we say that we are waiting on the Lord. God has already told us things that we need to be doing. And it's our job to just obey. To obey what God has said, to obey God's leading. God's not necessarily going to give us light for the next 5 years, but he will give us enough light for the next 5 minutes. And if you take that light and you walk and you follow and you obey and you surrender and you do all of those things, God will lead. I think about this. One of man's responsibilities is to witness. You know, so often we pray for people who don't know the Lord, and sometimes my question is, or sometimes the Holy Spirit prods my heart and says, well, you're praying for them. When's the last time you told them? Whose responsibility is it to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature? It's ours. It's man's job. It's the believer's job. And so understand, in the Christian life, we can often boil things down and understand things as God's responsibility and man's responsibility. Let me tell you tonight, it is God's responsibility, according to God's word, to keep you in peace. Look at Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. The Bible says this, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's not you and I holding on to God's peace. That is God's peace holding on to us. The word that's used here in Isaiah chapter 26 in verse number 3 for keep literally means to guard. That God himself has taken upon him the responsibility to guard us in a state of perfect peace. And when you begin to understand God's responsibility, that it is God's responsibility to produce peace, producing peace and guarding peace and keeping your heart in a state of peace is not your job. It's His. Jesus said this in John chapter 14 and verse number 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace is God's job. So believers ought not give themselves to go seeking and searching and looking and digging for peace. Because it's not our responsibility. It is God's responsibility. And in that, can I point out too God's reliability? Let me make a statement here and then let me back it up. Sustained, genuine peace is not possible apart from God. I want you to mull it over. Sustained, genuine peace is not possible apart from God. Well, you say, well, preacher, you can find peace in money. I suppose you can. It was pretty cool when the stimulus hit my account today. Made me smile. Probably you too. You say, well, preacher, you know, if I had X amount of money, I would have peace. Maybe. You know, a lot of people look for peace in their health. And you know what? They feel good. And they can do the things that they want to do and they need to do. And you know what? So long as I can have the quality of life that I need, boy, there's just a lot of peace in knowing that I've got strength and quality of life. In relationships. A lot of people find peace in relationships, in jobs, in the elements of control. But can I tell you something about all of those things? Money? You might find peace in money today, but money will not last. Money will fail you. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but money will fail. The Bible describes it like a bird that takes up wings and flies away. Money will fail you. Your health will fail you. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but one day your health will fail you. Relationships will fail you. You know what? Sin has a nasty, nasty way of messing up good relationships. And relationships will fail you. And even if your relationship is wonderful to the very end, there's something about this life. And the thing is life on this planet, in this scheme, it ends one day for all of us. And thus, for all of us, one day, relationships will fail you. Your job will eventually fail you. Your career will eventually fail you. Eventually, you will face something that is out of your control, and it will fail you. But the glorious truth tonight is that God will never fail you. And so if you're looking for peace in anything other than God, you're not going to find it long term, because God is the only source of genuine, sustained peace. It's His job. We see, number one, a reliable truth. That peace, the state of peace, it only comes through the Lord. But I want you to look at what else Isaiah has to say here in verse number 3. He said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." So we've got to start with reliable truth. That if God is the source and it's God's responsibility, it is peace. So we add to the foundation of reliable truth, we add to that foundation right thinking. Right thinking. Thou, God, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, whose thoughts is stayed on thee. I want you to notice with me that it's a focused thinking. That word stayed, it means to take hold of. It means to rest in. So in other words, God guards the peace, God guards the perfect peace of one whose mind is laid hold of one whose mind is rested in Him. You know, one of the greatest causes of a loss of peace is when we allow our mind to focus on things that are beyond our control. Let's take God out of the equation for a minute. You take God out of the equation and you get to looking at the world. You get to watching the news. Do you know what you'll find? You'll find that it looks like if you watch the news and look at the situation long enough, it'll look like this whole thing, I mean this whole thing, is being run by madmen with fingers on triggers of very large weapons. And on top of it all, right now we have unelected officials who seem to be dictating every aspect of our lives. I mean, we didn't vote for them. We didn't vote them in. We can't vote them out. We don't have any recourse. And somebody, Putin, Kim Jong-un, Iran, whoever, is going to blow up the whole world. And it's just crazy. You know what? You watch the news and you let the news to frame your thinking. You're not going to live with a whole lot of peace. Right thinking, church, is a focused thinking. And so you know what we as believers do? We choose to focus our thinking on God and not on the issues or the individuals. One of my favorite illustrations of this was David. David in the city of Ziklag, I referenced this recently in a sermon, but he and his mighty men, they came back and their city was burned and their wives and their children were taken. And David's mighty men got mad at him. And we find in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 6, that the Bible says this, and David was greatly distressed. Remember, the city was burned. His wives and children were gone. David was greatly distressed. The people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved for every man, his sons, and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David could have looked at the smoldering rubble all around him. David could have looked at his friends, his companions, who all of a sudden had turned. The same men who would have died for him 3 hours ago are now picking up stones getting ready to kill him. David could have looked at the rubble. David could have looked at the distress. But instead, David looked at the Lord his God. And that's what we have to do. We choose to focus our thinking on God. Because here's what happens. Focused thinking becomes filtered thinking. Focused thinking becomes filtered thinking. You know, as I focus on God, as issues begin to come my way, and as different individuals begin to enter my life, I begin to think, I wonder what God is doing through this. I wonder what opportunities God is creating through this. Because focused thinking becomes filtered thinking. I think, Lord, what do you want me to learn through this? Lord, how do you want to grow me through this? You know what? I find it interesting that oftentimes even we as Christians have to get into a tough spot before we turn our focus to God. We have to get into a tough spot and then we turn to God in desperation. I wonder what would happen if we already had a focused, filtered thinking, and we filtered every situation through God. I wonder what would happen. Maybe perfect peace. Perfect peace. So perfect peace. It has to start with reliable truth. You're not going to find it anywhere but God. And it's His job to guard that in your heart and life. But then we do have a responsibility. And we see first that that is right thinking, whose mind is stayed on Thee. But I want you to look how this verse finishes, okay? Verse number 3 of Isaiah chapter 26. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, reliable truth, whose mind is stayed on Thee, right thinking, because he trusteth in Thee. Real trust. Reliable truth, right thinking, real trust. Trust here indicates a confident boldness, a secure expectation. Let me ask you tonight, whether it's COVID-19, whether it's the financial stress that this has created for you, maybe even if the family stress that it's created on you, because you've all been locked in a house together for the last 30 days. Maybe it's the insecurity of the future. Maybe it's something else entirely. Let me ask you this. Are you persuaded tonight that God can really handle it? I want you to think about it. Are you really persuaded tonight that God can handle it? That He is a refuge and our strength, that He is a very present help in time of trouble? Are you persuaded that God can handle it? Got another question for you. Are you persuaded that God is really good? Are you really persuaded that God is good? That as the psalmist says, that He's a sun and a shield, that He gives grace and mercy, that no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly, that blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Are you really persuaded tonight that God is good? Are you persuaded that God is worthy of our trust? Like the psalmist says in Psalm 55 in verse number 22, where he said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Are you really persuaded tonight, deep down, with a bold confidence, with an expectation that God is able to handle it? Because the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, yes, God provides and protects the peace. But He does so for those people who have right thinking and who have real trust. And it is our responsibility to be persuaded that God can do anything but fail. Can I tell you something tonight? God can handle the weight. God can handle the weight. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7 says this, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That idea of cast has the idea of a sudden, deliberate throw. So it's not somebody clumsy who walks along and stumbles and trips and throws something. It is somebody that looks at something that they have in their hand and they realize, you know what? This doesn't belong in my hand. I don't need this in my hand. And they cast it aside. That's what the Bible is telling us to do. To look at our cares, our burdens, our problems, our struggles, our stresses, the things that are too big for us, the things that we can't figure out, the things that we can't understand, and say, you know what? It doesn't belong in my hands anymore. And suddenly, deliberately cast it upon Him. You say, preacher, but you don't know how big my problem is. Are you really persuaded today that God can handle the weight? I'm going to ask Brother Charles to come up here if he would. Down here for just a second. Let me give you an illustration. I weigh slightly over 150 pounds. How slightly over is none of your business. Weigh slightly over 150 pounds, give or take. Now, I got to be honest with you. I think Brother Charles is a strong Christian. I think he's a young man in the, I can say he's young because he's younger than I am, in the prime of life, because we're pretty much the same age. That puts me in the prime of my life too. He's a strong young man in the prime of life. But I got to be honest. Like, if I backed up and I ran and jumped, I don't have bold confidence that he's going to catch me. I don't know that Brother Charles can handle my weight. And I got to be honest with you. You know what? That's how I treat God a lot of times. But God, I got this diagnosis. And I want to give it to you, but I'm just not sure you can handle my weight. God, my finances, I haven't been able to work and I don't know what I'm going to do. And God is weighing me down. I can't sleep. I'm sick to my stomach. I just don't know how I'm going to handle it. And God, I want to give it to you. And God, I want peace. I just don't know if you can handle my weight. You suffered a loss. And your heart is broken. And you want peace. And you just... you stand on the precipice and you just don't know if God is able to handle the weight. You see, it's easy to say, you know what? I am fully persuaded that God can handle the weight. It's different and more difficult to say, I'm fully persuaded that God can handle my weight. But I want you to see what happens. Thank you, Brother Charles. I'd like my next assistant to come up if they would. I want you to see what happens. I honestly had no confidence in him. Or I would have jumped. I want you to see what happens here. This is my daughter Madeline. She's been very excited about this all day. Since she was going to be on the platform, she made sure she got all dressed up. You look beautiful, sweetheart. But I want you to see what happens. Baby, do you believe Daddy can handle you? Come on. And she did it with a smile. She did it with a smile. I want you to see what happens. You know what? When we're fully persuaded that God can handle our weight, not only can we cast our cares on Him, but do you see the peace? She's not fighting me. She's not kicking and squirming and trying to climb higher because she's afraid I might let her go. She has peace. And ladies and gentlemen, your heavenly Father desires to do the same for you. Can I tell you tonight, God can handle it. God can handle whatever your weight is. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what storm clouds roll in overhead. It doesn't matter what trouble we find on the ground. It doesn't matter what the evening news says. Reliable truth, right thinking, real trust equals perfect. Can we bow our heads tonight and close our eyes for just a moment? And tonight we need to consider that reality. That we build our life on reliable truth. That we give ourselves to right thinking and that we cultivate in our heart real trust. It's not uncommon, folks, for Christians to bellow, "It is well," in the pew and have a breakdown in the parking lot. Hey, God's got this. But you have to give it to Him first. We read earlier Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7, where it says, "And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, the verse that comes before that, verse 6, says, casting all, or be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God can handle it, but you have to give it to Him first. Tonight, as we have this time of invitation, this time of responding to God, tonight, if you lack peace, would you let the Holy Spirit tell you why? And would you do business accordingly with God? Father, I pray that You would be glorified in this moment, and that tonight Your people would get off the edge and they would cast themselves upon You. Father, that the Holy Spirit would put His finger on each one of our hearts, on each one of the reasons that we lack peace tonight, and that, Father, every one of us would humbly, would honestly respond. Perfect peace. Have Your will. Have Your way in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Every one of us doing business with God. Perfect peace. Help us to look at the burdens and the worries and the fear that we carry in our hands. Father, according to Your word, which You've laid out for us in Isaiah chapter 26, would You help us tonight to give it to You and to receive from You perfect peace. Father, thank You for the way that You've worked in hearts tonight. Thank You, Father, for Your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us for our midweek service and prayer meeting. We're praying for you, church. And as you have a testimony to share, we'd love to hear it. As a need may arise, we'd love to pray for you. We still have our prayer list that goes out every week. We email them. We hand deliver them. Church, we are in this together. And as God lays things on our hearts, church, let's be diligent to do them, to share the perfect peace that we have through Jesus Christ. God bless you. We love you, and we'll see you Sunday.